to have the signs hanging out in their yard that we all are susceptible to witchcraft, either using it or being influenced by it. And I'll talk more about that. I've talked about it, but I'm going to be talking more about it today. But the Lord also shared with me that we needed to dedicate our building. And so I think I'm going to begin a teaching on the Temple of Solomon on Sunday mornings, and let us see the necessity of dedicating the building. How many really would like to experience the glory cloud of God in this place when we come in here? So much to the extent that we can't even stand to minister. Would that be all right? Well, that happens when a place is dedicated properly. And the Lord showed me that as I went down to Somerville a couple weeks back and dedicated Gary Howell's building. I began to study it and see it, and the Lord had already impressed upon me that we had never really gone through a real formal dedication service here at our building. We've been here 5 years. We've really never dedicated it to the Lord. We've never sanctified it to the Lord. And so we want to do that, and we'll be doing that in a month or so. Maybe a good time would be to do it around, when is it, October the 14th, 17th, or something like that. So maybe we'll start looking at that, but we'll see what the Lord will have us do. But anyway, back to the witchcraft teachings. The thing that I've tried to share and tried to show us is that witchcraft is more than somebody that has a sign hanging out in their front yard that says, "I'm a witch." It's more than somebody that rides around on a broom with a long nose. It's more than that. We've seen that we all can be susceptible and influenced by witchcraft. And the definition that I have given and that we've worked with is witchcraft is any person or people who conjure up a cloud-like spell on others by using private prayers, which are really enchantments, or actions of manipulation. How many of you have ever got around particular people and you had to act a certain way? That's a form of witchcraft. They were manipulating you to act the way they wanted you to act. Sometimes you come to church and you have to act religious. That's a form of witchcraft. You're not supposed to act religious. You're supposed to be godly. You understand there's a difference? And when we come to church, don't act like me or like Jimmy Swaggart or anybody. Be you and minister because you're a member in particular. And so what we're after here is trying to show that witchcraft in the scriptures are more than somebody who's coming against the men of God or the things of God. Now, no one, I want to say this, and then I'm going to factuate these things. No one is beyond using witchcraft in one or more of its various degrees, and no one is beyond being affected by witchcraft in one or more of its various degrees. Even Joseph, the man of God, used a divining cup. Am I right? Joseph had a divining cup. As we'll see here in a little while, Galatia, the church at Galatia, was bewitched. So, people of God use it and are influenced by it. And this is what I've tried to project to us through these studies that we've gone through. In Scripture, witchcraft is used in governments. We recently, not this president, but the president before this one, his wife literally confessed that she did many of the things as far as scheduling her husband's itinerary according to what a witch said. An astrologer, am I right? It's still here today. Witchcraft is still influencing governments today. In Scripture, witchcraft is used by the people of God and used on the people of God. Ahab used it in Israel. Manasseh used it in Israel. Many of the other kings used it, and these were people of God. Also, it was used on them. Balaam used it on the people of God, which affected their flesh, and that's going to be the point today. In Scripture, witchcraft is also used in the home. Did Jezebel use it in her home? Sure. And so witchcraft is something that we got to understand is not something that this woman does that rides around the witch in this black outfit with the long hat and the long nose. Witchcraft can enter into anybody's home, into any person's heart. Those who use witchcraft are powerful, manipulative people, and they are very scriptural. Those who use witchcraft do not have many friends. The book of Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 6, if you want to write this down, says that the Lord God will cut him off from his people. Not from the Lord God's people, but from his own people. Their own mothers and daddies don't like them. Their children don't like them. Manipulative people don't have a lot of friends. They have a spell about them. And when they enter into a place, they carry this spell and it gets on you. And you feel uneasy around these people. They harden people's hearts. In Pharaoh's time, with Moses, what we saw there as we studied that, as these sorcerers came forth, Pharaoh's heart got hardened. Israel's heart got hardened. The people in Egypt's heart got hardened. You get around somebody who's manipulative, somebody who manipulates and tries to get their way all the time, you find out that your heart gets hardened towards the things of God and the men of God. Now, we've seen all this. I've already said all this, just kind of bringing us back into it, thrusting us back into it. These people, these workers of witchcraft, become very angry when they do not get their way. Jezebel was a worker of witchcraft, and when Ahab could not get Nabob's vineyard, what did she do? She killed Nabob. They got to get their way, and if they don't, they get angry. Workers of witchcraft cause the flesh to be activated in many of its various ways, and this is what we're going to be talking about today. Need to understand that a lot of times and a lot of the things that people of God go through is because witchcraft is working somewhere in their lives. In its various forms. Now, I'm not talking about somebody walking up to you and taking these little dolls and sticking needles in them. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a manipulative person that uses its witchcraft to manipulate and get their way. They carry a spell with them. Use enchantments. Manipulations. God says, don't do it. He says it's wrong. And he says, if you do it, I will judge you. Now, what I'm projecting here, and what I'm wanting us to see as a church and as Christians, is that many of the things that Christians go through, many of the battles that you and me fight, is because somewhere in our lives we've allowed witchcraft in. And I'll justify everything that I'm saying in just a little while. I'll show you that it's very, very scriptural, that a lot of the sometimes we're going through hard times because we're how does the scripture say it? For Christ's sake. But sometimes we bring judgments on ourselves because it's a wage of witchcraft. And I'm going to show all this in just a few minutes. But I really believe that a lot of Christians go through many of the battles they go through because somewhere in their lives, somewhere in their family, somewhere in their church, somewhere in their city, there's witchcraft working. And if we don't identify it, we're going to keep going through the same things, the same battles, passing it on to the next generation, the next generation, the next generation. That's what this study's been for. In the New Testament. Now, today what I'm talking about is New Testament witchcraft. Everything I've done up until this point, everything I've said to this point, is to come to the New Testament so that we can still find it and see that it's still active. In the New Testament, we find two types of witchcraft. First is open witchcraft. These are the ones that have the sign hanging in their front yard, the palm readers, the astrologers, they're open witchcraft. They do their evil works in the world. The second type that we find in the New Testament is secret or deceived witchcraft. Now, I believe that a person can function in witchcraft and not even know they're functioning in witchcraft. They can be so deceived that they're really bringing witchcraft into their home, their church, their city. They're functioning in witchcraft and don't even know it. They're deceived, but at any rate, it's secret. And this is in the church. And this evilness is done in the church. And that's what we're really concerned about. The openness. Let's talk about the openness. In Acts chapter 8, Simon the sorcerer, he was in Samaria. He was an open person that functioned in witchcraft. In Acts chapter 13, Bar Jesus, or another name for him was Elymas. He was the sorcerer. He was a Jewish false prophet. He was open. Acts chapter 16, the damsel with the spirit of divination that Paul cast the spirit out. Remember her? That was a soothsaying or a fortune-telling spirit. In Acts chapter 19, at Ephesus, where the great spirit of God moved upon that city of great as Diana the Ephesian thing, and all these people begin to bring their magic books and have them burned. These are all open types of witchcraft that the Bible, that the scriptures teach about in the New Testament. Now, I want to say, and I'm going to start right now on my first major point that I want to make today. These people have been in scriptures from the beginning. You find them back at Babel. You find it with Joseph. You find them with Moses. They're always in scriptures and they're in it to the end. Is there a false prophet in the book of Revelation? And a false prophet is a worker of witchcraft. And I'll show it to you in just a second. But anyway, they're all the way through. They're sorcerers. And we're going to read here in Galatians chapter 3 in just a few minutes that sorcery is in the church. Witchcraft is in the church. All the way from the beginning until now, the Bible shows us that witchcraft has always been there. And it seems that they're a part somehow of God's overall plan, that witchcraft is somehow a part of God's overall plan like the devil is. How many of you really understand the devil? I mean, you don't I don't understand why God let him be here, why he created him, and why he lets him do what he does. But he's part of God's plan. Do you understand that? And so is witchcraft. It's a piece of the puzzle. And as I began to look at this and try to deal with this and understand it in a better way, I find out that God allows it, and it never ends until God runs it away. In Micah chapter 5 and verse 12, he says, I will cut off sorceries from your hand, and you will have fortune tellers no more. He says, I will do it. It seems that all the way through scriptures, the people resisted them, but they were never removed until God removed them. They're a part of the piece of the puzzle. And so I want to project this two things, this open witchcraft. First of all, I think when witches and warlocks are in an area, there's number one, something for them to feed on. Aren't you glad that we don't have any of those signs hanging around in our area? You know, the palm reading, it's here. Witchcraft is still, it's in the realm of the spirit. But for one to live in an area, there must be something for that person to feed on. There must be somebody coming and giving them money so that they can exist. And so as long as there is something for that to feed on in an area, it will stay in that area. We find it all the way through the scriptures. It was there because there was something for it to feed on. Then secondly, there's a purpose for it being there. There's a purpose for that witchcraft to have been in whatever situation, and I'll call a lot of them off in just a second, in whatever situation that you find it in the scriptures, there was a purpose for it being there. And here's the point. The purpose for witchcraft in a church, in a home, in a life, in a nation, wherever, is to display the glory of God. That's why God allows it to exist. That's why God allows the devil to do some things, so his glory can be seen. Now let me show you. In Egypt, when Moses faced the sorcerers, was there something in Egypt for this witchcraft sorceries to exist on? Was there something for them to feed on? Sure there was, or they wouldn't have been there. And then when they had the confrontation with Moses, who won? Whose glory was seen? Every time you read it in Scripture, you'll always find out it was there, it was allowed to exist, but if you stayed with it to the end, the glory of God came forth. Every single time. Let me read them off to you. Balaam, he fed on Balak, he fed on that society. He opposed Israel. But at the end of that thing, whose glory was seen? Balaam's glory? Witchcraft glory? Or the glory of Israel? The glory of God. Every single time. And the Canaanites, when at the land where these 31 kings existed and Joshua went in, they were there because they were feeding on the society. They were feeding on the people. There was something there for them to exist on. And as long as there is something for witchcraft to exist on, it will stay. But whose glory was seen? The Canaanites or Jehovah? The glory of God is seen each and every time. There's a reason for it to be there. But the reason that it's there is so God's glory can be seen. How about the witch at Endor? She fed on King Saul. She fed on Saul's society. But whose glory was seen? The Jezebel fed on Ahab, fed on that society. But whose glory was seen? The workers of witchcraft in the northern kingdom. We've talked about all these things. They fed on the society. But whose glory was seen? The southern kingdom. It was there. The kings used it and used witchcraft and had witchcraft. But whose glory was seen? In every single situation that you find in the scriptures, you find out that it was there for the sole reason to show the glory of God. Do you know that whatever situation that you're going through in your life is for a reason? And do you know what that ultimate reason is? Everybody say it. To show the glory of God. I don't care what you're going through. You're going through it for a purpose, and the purpose you're going to go through it for is to show the glory of God. That God is right and every man's a liar. And every time you find it in the New Testament, same thing. Simon the sorcerer. He astonished the people and he fed on the people in Samaria. But when Peter and Paul came to town, who got the glory? Every single time. Bar Jesus, Elymas, he fed on the proconsul. But when Paul came to town, who got the glory? The damsel of divination at Philippi. She fed on those masters and they fed on the people. But who got the glory? Every time you find witchcraft in the scriptures, if you'll stay with it until the end, you'll find that God's going to get the glory. And the reason that it is allowed, any place, and it will stay there as long as there's something for it to feed on. It will stay there. It will exist until it is driven out, defeated by God and His people, and He will get the glory. And I've said all that just to say this. If it's existing in your home, if it's existing in any church, if it's existing in any city, the reason that it's existing there is there's something for it to feed on. And it will stay there until God gets the glory. Well, amen, Delbert. It's only when people of God come in and take dominion over the air that those powers leave. When they cut off the feed source, and then God gets the glory. Thy kingdom come. We've been singing it and saying it all morning. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done. Is there going to be any manipulation in His kingdom? Forget it. And this powerful thing of witchcraft that comes around you and gets a spell on you and puts you under these bondages and this stuff of the flesh and causes the flesh to activate, I'm promising you, God's going to bring it down. He's going to set His people free. Now, I want to show you this in the book of Galatians. Turn to Galatians chapter 3, and I'll prove some of the statements that I've been making. We're going to look at Galatians 3. And then we're going to turn to Peter, talk a little bit, and then we're done. We were at youth camp, and we got to youth camp. We didn't understand what in the world was happening. People that we had scheduled for 8 months to come and teach and minister backed out on us. They got sick, or they didn't come, didn't want to. They were bouncing us around from room to room. We had rooms that we had reserved, and got there, found out that they had moved us across the road, and all kinds of crazy things was going on. We didn't know what was happening. We started praying. Come to find out that the two people that ran the thing, two women, two ladies, were battling each other. They got into the office, got in a war, and one stuck a staple in another one's hand. Got police there. Had about three police cars out there. Come to find out one of them was reading books about witchcraft. Manipulation. Am I right, Steve? So we began to pray. We began to come against it. And this lady, the one that was righteous, really began to take us under her wings. She began to fix breakfast for us and for the children. We didn't ask her to do that. She just started doing it. She was already fixing it, so she just made enough for all of us. And we'd come over there. We'd eat breakfast with them. They was feeding us. We were praying for them. When we left, they cried because they didn't want to see. They'd never seen anybody quite like us before. How many of you believe that in Panama City Beach, there is something for witchcraft to feed on? But how many of you really believe that one day God's going to get glory and He's going to defeat it even in Panama City Beach? And that's what I've tried to say. Now, that's open. Now, I want to talk about it in a church. In a church. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. You foolish Galatians, let's all say it together. Who has bewitched you? What we have here is an entire church that was bewitched, that was influenced by witchcraft. Who has bewitched you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. In other words, salvation was working among you. He's going to say in the next verse that you started by the Spirit, but you're ending up in the flesh. He says, salvation is working among you. The blood of Jesus is working among you. The cross of Christ is working among you. But yet you still allowed a witchcraft thing, a bewitching to come in and beset you. A whole church. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing with faith? What's the answer to that? By the hearing by faith. Then verse 3, are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, now get this verse, you are now being perfected by the flesh. When witchcraft comes into a church, comes into a family, comes into a person, when it begins to get its work on your life, what you will always find happening is the flesh is activated. Every single time. Just one quick reference, Balaam. All those things that we've studied in the past, I'm going to just did it all so we can understand this. Balaam began to work his witchcraft. What did it do to the nation of Israel? Stirred up their flesh. Is that right? Wherever you find witchcraft working, you're going to find the flesh active. Now, and it's not just in lust or immorality. The flesh has many, many functions, many, 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 many areas that it can waver in and go wrong in. How about anger? Is anger a work of the flesh? Sure it is. Not just immoralities, but the things of the flesh are activated whenever witchcraft is going on. And I'm trying to show us that when witchcraft, when manipulative things come in a church, a home, an individual, when things are going on, then there are consequences. And it's always the flesh being activated. The flesh is activated, and a person begins to follow after their flesh and not after the Spirit. Now, chapters 3, 4, and 5 deal with that subject, and I haven't got time to go through that. But that's what Paul is talking about here. You started in the Spirit, now you're trying to be perfected in the flesh. When witchcraft comes in, flesh gets activated. People get angry, hard-hearted, immorality start happening, people get angry at one another, dissension starts happening. Hello? Excuse me? And we've got to understand it, folks, that something's going wrong. And we can't just turn our nose up and act like and play like it's not there. There is a bewitching that will happen to any church if they're not wise to these things. How many of you believe that the devil really wants this church bewitched? Wants us to start in the Spirit, but end in the flesh. Would love for us to have anger at one another. Would love for you men to begin to commit immoralities and acts of fornication and adultery. How many believe that the devil would really like to bewitch you and get a spell on you men to cause you to be unfaithful to your family? Sure. And cause you women to start fighting and fussing one another. Nobody here ever does that, but it could happen. Sure. And so what we've got to understand is the flesh is being activated because of something. And this something that I'm trying to project to us is that we have allowed a bewitching to come in, something that's happening and causing us to go in a wrong direction. Now, the word bewitched there means to malign, means to fascinate, it means to cast a spell. Look in chapter 5 and verse 19. Now, all this, chapter 3, 4, and 5, is dealing with this. This is what Paul is dealing with here. They're bewitched. And when the bewitching comes into a church, or into a family, or into an individual's life, when it begins to get on them, that spell begins to work, the flesh is activated. Let me try to say this quickly, because I'm going to read here in just a second. When you do these things, you won't inherit the kingdom of God. Now, it's not that you won't go to heaven. But you won't inherit the kingdom of God. Tell me what the kingdom of God is. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. When these things, when you're being bewitched, you don't have righteousness, you don't have peace, and you don't have the Holy Ghost functioning in joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost isn't leading you. You're being led by the flesh. It's not that you're going to hell. So don't hear me wrong. How are you saved? By grace. How do you sit in the throne? No, by overcoming. I can't get into this. I won't have time. Tabernacle of Moses. I wish they had my boy. Tabernacle of Moses, okay? You go in. The first thing, the brazen altar, the laver bowl. Then you go in. And then there's the table of shewbread, the altar of incense, the candlesticks. then you go into the Ark of the Veil and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of the whole earth. That's you going in. But you don't get to go in unless He first comes out. He comes out from that holy place and gets you. That's grace. You with me? You can't come unless He draws you. You can't come in unless He lets you. That's God's grace. God's grace comes out after you. That's how you're saved. He come and got you. He says, Jesus told His disciples, He says, I chose you. You didn't choose me. Grace comes and gets you. Now, works does something else. What does works do? Works goes in. You overcome, you get to the throne, you get to the Ark of the Covenant by what you do in the kingdom. When you come to the judgment seat of Christ in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and goodness, how did I get on? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you'll be judged for what you did in this body. Not for your sins, got nothing to do with your sins, but you're judged for what you did in this body. What did you accomplish in this body? You believe in eternal security, don't you, Delbert? Maybe. If you're chosen by God, are you chosen? Can you get unchosen? Will He always be Lance Young? Will He always be Lance Young? Can He do anything about that? No, He'll always be Lance Young. He's always my son, my child. I can't do anything about it. I don't care what He does. But now I might not get His inheritance. How's that? That's grace and works. You see? He comes out and gets you. And that's the way the whole thing's set up. Anyway, He gives the Galatians. Yes. Maybe I just needed to say that. Maybe some. All right, we're talking here. The works of the flesh. Look at verse 19. Galatians 5, 19. Let's back up. Verse 17. 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. See the difference? For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please or that you want to do. That's what happens when a witchcraft thing gets on us. We don't do, our flesh gets activated. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident. Which are, now notice these will be in threes, immorality, impurity, and sensuality. Then right in the middle of them, idolatry, sorcery, King James Bible says what? Witchcraft, enmities. Right in the middle of the church, idolatries, sorceries, witchcraft. Then strife, jealousy, and outburst of anger. Then disputes, dissensions, and factions. Then envyings, and drunkenness, and carousing. And things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It's not that you're going to die and go to hell if these things happen to you, but you won't have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And what I'm trying to project to us and say somehow is that many of the things that you and I battle and go through in our lives is because we've allowed some witchcraft, some manipulation, some things to come into our lives, and we've got to learn how to battle it. Identify it and get rid of it so that we can walk in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what I'm trying to say. Works of the flesh. When bewitching happens, you'll find immorality and impurity and sensuality happen. Balaam. You'll find idolatry, sorcery, witchcraft, enmities happening. You'll find strife, jealousy, outburst of anger happening. Pharaoh. The hard-heartedness. Jezebel, how she got angry with Elijah. Remember how Jezebel had the outburst of anger at Elijah? I'm going to kill you. This is all a part of a bewitching that the enemy can successfully do to a church, to a family, to a city. Disputes, dissensions, and factions. People get hard-hearted. They get angry. They get angry easy. Envyings, drunkenness, and carousing. Belshazzar, the handwriting on the wall. In Daniel's day, that's what they were doing. They were having drunkenness and carousing because of the sorcery that was going on in the area. There was something for them to feed on, and so it had a place to stay. It wasn't until God came in, showed His glory, that was run away with. So these are evidences of bewitching. The flesh is activated when a bewitching comes on a people. I don't know, and I'm not anybody. I'm just giving an example. I counsel a lot with people in marital problems. What happens when a person enters into an adulterous relationship or a marital problem when there's a third party involved is a spell happens. Nobody gets in a closet and starts sending out a spell. They don't take like a doll and do some kind of voodoo thing on it. That's not what I'm talking about. But if you have ever got involved emotionally with another person, you found that you were in a spell. You thought about that person. You woke up thinking about that person. You go to bed thinking about that person. You found yourself in a spell. You were bewitched. You did not have righteousness. You did not have peace. You were not having joy. And you were not functioning and being led by the Holy Ghost. Excuse me. Excuse me. Nobody wants to say amen to that one again. But whenever you find people, there's a spell that gets on people. A spell can come into a church. Hard-heartedness. People get angry. They begin to find criticisms. Balaam would go to this hill and try to find something wrong with Israel so he could curse them. And this hill, try to find something wrong with Israel. And this hill, they begin to get critical. Folks, this is what I'm talking about. It activates the flesh. And when your flesh gets activated, find out something is bewitching you. Are you hearing what I'm trying to say? Okay. Envying, drunk, these are things that happen. Now, the opposite is true when we walk in the Spirit, when there's a spiritual church. Galatians 5:22 tells you these things, and these are also in three. Love, joy, peace. Gentleness, meekness, faith. Okay? Temperance. I'm not teaching the gifts of the Spirit right now or the fruits of the Spirit. What I'm talking about right now is this bewitching thing. But when you're led by one, you won't fulfill the other. So if things are going on in your life and you're being judged for things and crazy things are happening, then find out where you're being bewitched at. Now, 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Quickly. Bewitching, witchcraft, is not some woman with a long hat and a long nose and a long broom. That's not what a witch is. A witch can be you can be bewitched by a pastor, a teacher, people coming into the church, going out of the church, teachings that you have submitted yourself to, by individuals. I can be manipulated by my wife. I can manipulate my wife. These are forms of witchcraft. I'm being as plain as I can be without being offensive. She can do certain things that can anger me. Can you push the right buttons and get me angry? And you know that if you push those buttons, I will explode. We know how to do it. And so what I'm trying to say to you folks is when you activate your witchcraft on somebody, you're activating their flesh. If she pushes those buttons on me, anger is a work of the flesh. She has just worked witchcraft on me. She has just bewitched me. It's getting clearer, isn't it? It's getting clearer as I'm getting it out. That's what I'm trying to say. You work it, and it's worked on you. And you got to know how to recognize it when it comes around. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. What I want to do now is look at identifying those that work witchcraft, and particularly the false teachers in the church. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Reading verses 1 through 4, and then we'll see what else we do. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you. Now, what he has just said here is he has said, as it was in the Old Testament times of all those examples that we've already studied, as that was in those days, it shall also happen in your day. Just as it was, it will also happen. Just as there will also be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies. King James Bible says damnable. These things damn you. And again, understand they cause you not to walk in righteousness, peace, and joy. It's not that you're going to go to hell. If you're chosen, you're chosen. Even denying the master who brought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought the flood upon the world of the ungodly. I've read further than I wanted to, but I'll just go ahead and finish this thought. And if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ashes, having made them an example to those who would live ungodly thereafter, and if he rescued righteous Lot, oppressed by the sensual conduct of the unprincipled men, for by what he saw and heard, that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented, I think King James says vexed, day after day. That's what this stuff, with their lawless deeds, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. Drop down to verse 14. Having eyes full of adultery and that never cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, having heart trained in greed, accursed children, forsaking the right way, they have gone astray, having followed what? The way of Balaam, witchcraft. Now, I want to say some things. He says here, you can read this whole chapter, and it'll show you how to identify the workers of witchcraft in a church, or in a family, or in a situation. And I'm going to talk about this. This is what I want to do now. But he says here that these false prophets in the Old Testament will also, their spirits are still alive. The spirits that was working with Balaam, that worked with Cain, that worked with Jezebel, they're still alive. All these are mentioned in the New Testament. They're still here. And he says, it was this, then it'll be now. They follow their sensuality. They malign the way of truth. In greed. And that greed is not merely money, but it's also wanting your way. Greedy to have your way. You may know somebody that may not be greedy in money, but they're greedy if they don't get their way. They malign others with their greed. And they will be judged. He says they will be judged. Now, what I want to talk about now is what I believe that Peter's talking about here is the transference of spirits. He says if you get around these people, guess what will happen to you? You get just like them. The Bible talks about false teachers. If I get and malign you with a false doctrine, if I teach you something erroneous, then I have bewitched you. And that's what false teachers do. But also, how many believe that people can come into this church with false doctrines and stir up all you against me? So it's not just me, it's also all of us. People can come into a church and cause all kinds of problems because they don't see things like the leadership sees things. And it's so important to know those that labor among you. Now, I'm going to just say some things rapidly because I want to bring this to an end. But what he's doing here is he says God can punish these wicked and at the same time rescue the righteous. He talks about sparing the angels or sending the angels that sin to hell. How many knows that if you remain righteous, even though this church can be full of witches, if you stay righteous, he knows how to rescue you out of the witches. But you got to stay righteous. You and me have got to have enough understanding of the Word of God, have enough understanding of what God's doing in the earth so that we can remain righteous and stay away from those transference of spirits. Now, I just want to get this identification, and then we're going to quit. He says here, he begins to identify these guys in verse 10. He says they're daring and they're self-willed. They despise authority. Their will is not submitted. They say they don't submit to anybody but Christ. What they're really saying is they don't submit to anybody. If I want to submit to Christ in the earth today, what must I submit to? His body. His church, folks. You can't teach it to me any other way. That's the Scriptures. And when people won't submit to the body of Christ and to the leadership that God has set in that body, and I'm not talking about me, I'm just teaching this to this eldership. That's why you got to know those that labor among you. When there's no submission, then that's the first mark, he says, that's the first mark of those that go the way of Balaam. He says they're unreasoning animals. They're creatures of instinct. They're hard-hearted. They're stiff-necked. Unreasoning. They won't reason with you. They won't reason with their spouse. They won't reason with men of God. They won't reason with the Word of God. And the Bible says they'll be destroyed. And a lot of the things that we go through is because we become unreasoning. Well, let's just go on. You guys are really amening me today. Number two, they suffer wrong at the wages of doing wrong. Does doing wrong have wages? Sometimes we suffer for Christ's sakes. We do. But a lot of times, folks, we suffer because that's a wage of what we've done. Manipulation. Talking about people. Anger. Backbiting. Excuse me. And there's a wage for that. You can sow it today, and I promise you a harvest is coming. You talk about somebody today and don't see if about 90 days down the road, you don't reap something. The Word of God. They revel. They party in the daytime. They revel. They carouse. In other words, they try to become your friends. They want to be close to you so they can get that transference of spirit. And you know, that's what they do. Their eyes are full of adultery. Now, please notice that this is not a stumble. This is not a fall. This is not a sin that an individual would fall. Their eyes are full of it. It's not a sin. It doesn't cease. This is a lifestyle. They entice unstable souls, Paul says, and they lead captive silly women laden with lust. Their heart is trained in greed. And again, greed is not money. Don't look at greed just in monetary. Greed is also in manipulation. Their children are accursed. And I'm not saying much here. But folks, I want you to know that if your children are consistently giving you problems, then there's a reason. Number seven, they follow the way of Balaam. They look and they criticize. Just talked about that. Go to here. Follow the way of Balaam. Working the flesh up. Getting everybody angry. Doing all this stuff. Empty. Springs without water. Clouds without rain. They promise a lot. They look like they're good. Can you judge a book by its cover? Can you judge a book by its cover? I want to answer. Can you judge a... No. That's why the Bible says so clearly, know those that labor among you. Folks, you need to know my life. If you're going to sit and you're going to let me teach you and teach your children and teach your children's children, you need to know my life. You need to know the eldership in this house. You need to know the deacons in this house. Number nine, they promise freedom from the world. Liberty. I'm free. What they really do is they put people in bondage. The faith teaching came, and I thought I was free, but I couldn't take an aspirin. I got in so much. I had to say my confessions. Number 10, Peter says they're dogs and they're pigs. They bring the vomit and the pigsty right into the middle of the church. Okay. Bible's full of examples. That's how you identify them. They bring a mess. How many want to, in this church, in some of our families, in our city, began to identify and break the curse of witchcraft that's been here for centuries? Do you want to? Do you really want to? Okay, I want to do four things. I want us to come down here. And I want to pray first of all for this church, because I don't believe this church can help this city unless first of all this church identifies the fact that sometimes we have manipulation, we have witchcraft happening right in here. I don't believe we can help a city, we can't help families, unless we understand how it works to start with. Secondly, I want to pray for your families. Some of you, spouses, husbands, talk to both men and women. Both of them try to manipulate the other so they can get their ways.